It's a great morning to be here, just like Robbie was talking about, and I'm gonna pray to get the sermon started. God, I thank you for who you are, and God, it's not about any particular person on the stage today, it's about you, Jesus. And Bob and I are here to hear from you just like everyone else in the room. I pray that you would grace us with your message today. It's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. So when I was growing up, there was something that I hated, and that thing, we don't have a picture of it right at the moment, we're pulling that up, but was arm wrestling, and you probably don't have to look very far to realize why I wasn't a fan of arm wrestling. As a kid and as a teenager, I would avoid it like the plague if I could, but you know, if someone challenges you to arm wrestle, well, you have to. And I knew what was going to happen. I'm going to go show off how incredibly weak I am in front of a group of people. So it's always a bad thing. I can remember being 14 and over, was dating a girl at the time, and her little brother, who was 12, challenged me to arm wrestle. I was just like, dang it. You know, last thing I want to do. And of course, I lost to him. He grew up to be this big, strong guy, but at the time, it was not good for my pride. But we're actually talking today about not arm wrestling particularly, but the reason I hated arm wrestling was it showed a weakness of mine, showed something I didn't like about myself. And it might not be arm wrestling for you, but all of us, we like to run away from things that show our weaknesses. And that's true for anybody in the room probably, but for us today, we're going to be talking about a specific weakness that a lot of us struggle with, but we don't like to admit to ourselves. And that weakness is pride. And the way we're going to be talking about pride and humility today, what it means for what we're talking about today is, if you're prideful towards God, it means you say, my way is better than your way. My best ideas are better for my life, or what I want to do is better than what you want me to do. And so anytime we come to a decision or a crossroad in our life, it really is like a little arm wrestling moment where you're going to know, if you pay attention, who has more power in your life. Does God have more power, or does your selfish desires have more power? Because every time you come to some decision, it shows it. But a lot of us, like I would run away from, you know, if I was going to lunch or something and saw a bunch of teenagers about ready to arm wrestle, when I was back in high school, I would go sit at a different table, you know, or something. Like, I wanted to avoid it. A lot of us, we don't want to think about, you know, why did I get mad last week? Or why am I always so stressed? Or why is this relationship with somebody at my house, why is it so bad? We don't really want to think about who's the Lord of that situation, because we're prideful. We don't want to face that pride. So today, though, we're going to be talking about two different people, two different types of people that found humility. There were people that went maybe the easy way, and there are people that went the hard way, but they both got over their pride. And some of us in the room, we need hard lessons, so we're going to talk about that pathway to get humility. Before we get there, though, I want to talk a little bit out of the Bible about why is humility so important. So 1 Peter chapter 5, starting the second half of verse 5, it says, all of you clothe yourself with humility towards one another because. Now, the Bible could just come out and tell us what to do. Sometimes it gives us commands, but here it says, I'm going to explain why this is a good idea. Why is it important to be humble? And so Peter goes on to say, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. I can remember Josh Monk talking about this verse and saying when he heard this verse, a lot of his life clicked about why his life had gone the way it went. When Josh was living his old lifestyle and living for himself, things didn't go well. And when he read this verse, he realized the reason, that first line up there, God opposes the proud. God was against Josh and his old lifestyle. But when Josh handed over the keys to his life over to God, the second part of that phrase came into practice. God shows his favor to the humble. And so if you feel like your life is never going the way you want it to go, you try and try and try, but you wind up always down in the mud. Why does that happen? Well, if you've got pride, if you think my way is best and I don't have to do it God's way, then God's actually against you. He's pushing you to change. This next verse says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand that he may lift you up in due time. If we choose to say, God, your way is better, then God's going to lift us up. God's going to take care of us. So awesome promise. What does it look like in someone's actual life? Well, today we're going to talk about a few different chapters in the Bible from the Old Testament, a book of called Jonah. If you know anything about Jonah, this picture might, you know, clue you in on some of his story, but let me take you through the beginning of what we see about Jonah in Jonah chapter 1. Jonah's a guy who grew up around a lot of people that believed in God. He believed in God. He was actually known as a prophet. He was somebody who would connect with God, hear from God, and then help other people get closer to God. So it sounds like he's doing pretty well for himself. Jonah had a problem, though. He held on to hatred towards a group of people. And so if you're in church today, and maybe you've been coming to church your whole life, and maybe you've been doing a lot of good stuff for God, you think, but you're hanging on to some darkness in your heart, whether it's hatred towards some other person that you think really wronged you. I mean, Jonah hated a whole empire of people, and this empire, the Assyrians, had taken over his country and the countries all around him, and they would brutally kill people. I mean, they'd wipe out whole cities, but they'd also, like, brutally mess up the bodies and things like that. I mean, there's a horrible group of people that he hated. Maybe you feel like you have an excuse for somebody that you hate in your life, and you think, oh, I can come to church on Sunday, and I can do good stuff for God throughout the week, and I can hang on to my hatred for my cousin or my mom or that guy who hurt me. But if you're like that, you're going to come to a day just like Jonah did where God says, okay, it's time to change. It's time to let go of that sin you've been holding on to, whether it's hatred or lust or greed. And then you've got that crossroads. You're going to decide in that arm wrestling moment, is God stronger or are you stronger in your life? If you say, you know what, I'm going to hang on to my sin, I'm going to hang on to my old ways, well then you're going to follow the footsteps of Jonah. So here's what happened in Jonah's life. Jonah got told by God, go to Nineveh, go to that town that you hate, and talk to them about me. Help them to change. Help them to improve. And Jonah said, I'm not doing that. I'm going to go in the opposite direction of that. And how many people in this room, you knew what the right thing to do was, but you ran in the opposite direction? We've got a few hands of people. There's probably more hands could be up. So Jonah ran in the opposite direction, and when he hit an ocean, he said, that's not far enough. I'm going to get on a boat and go farther. And some of you have done that with God. You went the wrong way, and then when you hit a wall, you just went over the wall and went more wrong. Things didn't go well for Jonah. They didn't go well for his new friends. We're going to talk a little bit more about that here in a minute. But Bob, this was a long time ago. Tell us what it looks like nowadays when someone says, my way is better than God's way.
Let's look at two ways that we in our day and time can be like Jonah. Remember, Jonah knew about God. He knew the things of God. He was far enough along that he was called a prophet of God, and yet he ended up really making horrible choices. And so one of the ways, this is for me. This is me, I don't have that much hair, but this is me. When I get close to God and I want to be disobedient, I still want to be a good little Christian preacher. And so I do a Bible study. And I let my Bible study feed my mind and make me feel religious all the while I'm giving God a stiff arm. You think about that. And so it is very easily done. How many times have you gone to a Bible study and you've put more information in your mind, but you haven't dealt with what you already knew and you weren't doing up to that point? Okay? And so that's important. I think in our culture today, maybe more so in America than any place in the world, we have preaching and singing as entertainment. And there are people all across America who are being entertained today, more or less. Some more, some less, obviously. They're being entertained, but they're not going to do what they hear. I have said for years that I think preaching is very inefficient. We spend a lot of time preaching, and very few people do what they hear preached on a Sunday morning. They hear it, they evaluate it, they talk about it, they discuss it, maybe, and then they go on with their own lives. I've been reading the Old Testament prophets, and Jonah's one of those. And it's like in that day that they drew a line. If you can see sand up here, they drew a line in the sand. And they looked up in all of their pride to God, and they said, God, I'm not going to cross that line with you. I'm going to do what I want to do. That's called stubbornness of heart. And over again, God talks about their stubborn heart. There are people sitting in churches today who are going to say, I will serve God to this point, this line, but God don't ask me to step over that line. I am not going to go across that line. I'm not going to do that. And they've already made up their mind. And yet they will go to another Bible study. They will listen to another sermon. They'll put a music station, Christian music station, on their radio. They'll do that, but they have no intent of confronting God about that. So I would suggest to us that one of the ways that we can run away from God, and this sounds crazy, is another Bible study, another sermon, another radio program that talks about God, another thing like that, but we've not done what God has called us to do. This past week, I'm starting to study again, very similar to my sermon here, the Gospel of John. And I was really zinged by one of the books I was reading on that when the author said, the key to understanding the Bible, this will open the Bible and the Lord of the Bible to you, is a willingness from your heart to do what you read. And that spoke to me. So this is one way we can run. There's another way that we can run. And I run into this, and that's to be unteachable. And some of you can take this very personally because you're guilty, okay, in case you're wondering. But I have people who come to me, and they're full of ideas. They can't stop talking, and they want to tell me what they know, and they want to tell me what ought to be done, and they just talk and talk and talk, and I'm thinking, man, give me a break, you know. Just take a breath and let me get a word in. And then when I start to get a word in, no, they don't need to hear what I have to say because they're so full of their own thoughts. Now, I'm not picking on anybody in particular at this moment, but there's some of you who are guilty of that right here, okay? And I'm sure I've been guilty of that. I don't think I'm currently, but here's the problem. If I am full of my thoughts, the person who is the hardest person to teach is somebody who knows it all. Could you say that again? The person who's the hardest one to teach is the one that knows it all. And if you can't accept correction from God himself, you're in trouble. And so what we have to do is we have to step back and we have to look at that line and say, God, man, I don't want to cross that line that I've drawn in the sand, but if you're calling me to cross it, I'm going to walk across it, a willing heart. And the other people who say, God, I'm filling up the world with my words so I don't have to look at myself, God, I'm going to stop talking for a while. And I'm going to sit down and quietly before you and let you speak to me so I have to do the very thing I don't want to do, and that is to confront the person that I am so I can get what I want to get. We call ourselves coaches, and I love that designation that we have here. Coaches make the players do what they don't want to do so they can get what they want to get. Can I say that again? Coaches make the players do what they don't want to do so they can get what they all want to get. And so we're suggesting to you to quit running from God. Quit doing another Bible study and neglecting what you've already learned. Quit talking and start listening and responding. Both of these at the core says, I'm willing to do what God wants me to do. And that's a key. We're going to learn more about that, and we're going to ask Eddie Musk to come on up here, and Jake's going to introduce him a bit.
So we were talking about Jonah, and we left him. He's on a boat running away from God. Eddie's coming up, and if you guys know this story, there's a huge storm. Jonah winds up getting tossed into the ocean. God provides some sort of sea creature, a fish or something, to grab Jonah, and Jonah is literally at the lowest point of his whole life, if you can imagine that. Waves bigger than he can hope to overcome around him. He's just totally despairing. Some of you in this room have hit rock bottom before. And there's a temptation when you hit rock bottom to despair, to give up on God and everyone else. But there's also an opportunity to turn to God. So I've asked Eddie to come up because the prayer in Jonah chapter 2 is so powerful. I thought, honestly, we need it read really well. And so Eddie is going to do a dramatic reading for us of Jonah chapter 2.
In the Message, the title of this chapter was Jonah at the Bottom of the Sea. And that's where we pick up this great prophet of God, literally in the belly of the beast. Chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed to his God from the belly of the fish. And he prayed in trouble, in deep trouble. I prayed to God, and he answered me. From the belly of the grave, I cried out, help me. And you heard my cry. You threw me into the depths, into the watery grave, with ocean waves, ocean breakers crashing about me, over me. And I said, I've been thrown away. I've been thrown out of your sight, and I will never again lay eyes on your holy temple. The ocean gripped me by the throat. The ancient abyss grabbed me and held tight. My head was all tangled in seaweed at the bottom of the sea where the mountains take root. I was as far down as a body can go, and the gates were slamming shut behind me forever. Yet you pulled me up from that grave alive. Oh God, my God, when my life was slipping away, I remembered you, and my prayer got through to you, made it all the way up to your holy temple. Those who worship hollow gods, God frauds, they walk away from their only true love. But I will worship you, O God, and I will call out in thanksgiving, and I will do what I promised to do, for salvation is from you, O God. And then God spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah up on the seashore. Thank you.
So Jonah has this rock bottom prayer where he turns to God. He puts his hope in God, and God gets him out of the trouble. If you were in Sunday school downstairs, Johnny Burton talked about foxhole prayers. Now, he had prayed, God, save me. But then he'd gotten out of prison, or he'd gotten out of his trouble, and he'd gone right back to his old life. And Jonah does something very different, and John obviously eventually did something very different. He prayed that prayer, but then he actually did the thing God was calling him to do. He made a change. So Jonah goes and he speaks to the people he didn't want to speak to. And we talked about Jonah had the hard way to humbleness. He ran from God, and he had to get broken in order to be humble. But tell us about the way the Ninevites responded.
Well, the Ninevites responded immediately when they heard the word of God. So here's a man who goes and he speaks a word, and they immediately heard and responded. I so wish that we all, the church, the people here, the people around the world, when we heard the word of God, we would say, yes, Lord, I hear and I respond. So the king actually took off his royal robe, and he demonstrated before all the people. He put on sackcloth. It just looks like a gunny sack in my mind. I don't know what it looked like back then. And he sat in a pile of ashes, and he put them on himself. That was his signal of saying, I repent, a huge place of humility. Obviously, humility looks different here. The one thing about humility is I'm willing to do what I need to do. I've heard a lot of people who come out of 12-step programs say, my humility is to give up my own best thinking and to take direction from a sponsor. And I have people ever so often who say, Pastor Bob, I need to visit with you. Can we have a cup of coffee? I say, what's up? My sponsor told me to visit with you, and I'm doing what my sponsor said. And I thought, that's fantastic. That's humility. And that is being willing to do what it is. I would so suggest to you that one of the things that we could do today is to say yes to God, whatever he says, however he gives an impression on us. Quite frankly, most of us who've been in church as long as I have, we don't need a new idea from God. We don't need to learn some new little trinket of information about God. We just need to say yes to God. And there's some folks who are maybe newer in the faith who are full of words and ideas and thoughts and maybe enthusiasm. And don't lose the enthusiasm, but try this. Cut through all of that and say, okay, God, what are you really saying to me so I can respond to you? So humility is saying I'm willing to take direction from people. I'm willing to take correction from God, and you cannot lose with that, okay?
I've got one more slide and one more story for you guys today, but if you've come all this way and you still haven't felt like, oh, yeah, that's me, or, oh, man, I need to change, then you're in danger of missing the whole thing we're talking about today. There's a lot of people who go through life, and when they hear about change or somebody needs to change, they think, oh, yeah, that other person I know needs to change. My spouse needs to change, or my neighbor needs to change, or that other guy who lives across the hall needs to change. If you haven't heard today that you need to change, I want you to listen up, okay? So the people who changed, who were humble, they knew this fact. I've heard this from people in recovery. It's very true. Three words. It says, nothing changes if nothing changes. And that's true. If you don't do anything different this week, if you hang around the exact same people and you talk about the same stuff and you go to the same places and you listen to the same music and you watch the same TV and the same Bible stays dusty on your shelf, then nothing's going to change in your life. But what does it look like if you do start to make changes? Is it all easy street once you say yes to God? Well, we know that it's not. We heard that today in Sunday school. I asked Michael if I could share the story. Michael said he got baptized here just a couple weeks ago, and he's got about a month clean or so. And Michael said, you know, when you get sober, there's still messes to clean up. And that's very true. But Michael described something that happened to him yesterday. He was doing all the right things, headed to a meeting, and on the way to the meeting, had somehow had some run-in with police officers. He still had warrants out for his arrest, and so he got taken to jail yesterday. Now, average person has that happen to them as they're trying to do the right things. That obviously would throw your whole day off, and you're stressed about, how am I going to get out? How am I going to solve my problems? Michael had a very different strategy, and he told us the key to it was that morning, just like every other morning, he gets on his knees, and he says, God, today's your day, and I give it to you. And so he said that because he had done that in the morning, on his way to jail, he said, well, I guess we're going to tell some people about Jesus at jail today. So that was Michael's plan. And so whereas most people would be so worried about how are they going to get out, Michael said, because he's been following Jesus, he's made some good friendships with people in this church, people at Maple House, and God worked it all out, and he's able to be at church today. He got out of prison yesterday. So God took care of that. That verse we read is real, where it says if you humble yourself before God, he'll lift you up at the right time. And so imagine if tomorrow you got on your knees in the morning and said, God, I give this day to you. It's not my day. And imagine if no matter what happened, even if you wind up in the back of a police car, you said, whatever happens today, I'm living for Jesus today. And you let God take care of lifting you up. You just did the right thing in front of you every step of the way. All of us have different things to do, but all of us need to change in some way. So as the worship team is coming up, now's your chance to get with God and say, God, how do you want me to change? What do you want me to do? Because whether you've been coming to church your whole life or whether it's your first Sunday here and you're trying to figure it all out, God has something for you, something different. Don't miss that. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you. What Jonah said thousands of years ago is still true. That even if we feel like the gates are slamming shut behind us, there's still hope. There's still love in you. You're the one who really loves us. You're the one who can really save us. God, I pray you would save us this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.